Thank you so much. So this conference, one of the big themes is languages. So I want to give you an overview of where we actually are currently when it comes to languages and where we can go from here. Wikidata is all about giving more people more access to more knowledge. And language is such an important part of making that a reality. And especially since more and more of our lives depends on technology. And as our keynote speaker earlier today was talking, some of this technology leaves people behind simply because they can't speak a certain language. And that's not okay. So we want to do something about that. And in order to change that, you need at least two things. One is you need to provide content to the people in their language. And the second thing you need is to provide them with interaction in their language, in those applications or whatever it is you have. And Wikidata helps with both of those. And the first thing, content in your language, that is basically what we have in items and properties, right? How we describe the world. Now, this is certainly not everything you need, but it gets you quite far ahead. The other thing is interaction in your language, and that's where lexemes come into play, right? If you want to talk to your digital personal assistant, or if you want to have your device translate a text and things like that. All right, let's look into content in your language. So what we have in items and properties. For this, the labels in those items and properties are crucial, right? We need to know what this entity is called that we're talking about. And instead of talking about Q5, someone who speaks English knows that's a human, someone who speaks German knows that's a Mensch, and similar things. So those labels on items and properties are bridging the gap between humans and machines, and humans and humans making more knowledge, more existing knowledge accessible to them. Now, that's a nice aspiration. What does it actually look like? It looks like this. What you're seeing here that is that most of the items on Wikidata have two labels, so labels in two languages. And after that, it's one, and then three, and then it becomes very sad. I think we need to do better than this. But on the other hand, I was actually expecting this to be even worse. I was expecting the average to be one. So I was quite happy to see two. All right. But it's not just interesting to know how many labels our items and properties have. It's also interesting to see in which languages. Here you see a graph of the languages that we have labels for on items. So the biggest part there is other. So I just took the top 100 languages. And everything else is other to make this graph readable. And then there's English and Dutch, French, and not to forget, Asturian. Woohoo, yes. So what you see here is quite an imbalance and still quite a lot of focus on English, right? The nice thing is, if you look at the same thing for properties, it's actually looking better. And I think in part of that comes due to there just being way less properties, so even smaller communities have a chance to keep up with that. But it's also a pretty important part of Wikidata to localize into your language. So that's good. And what I want to highlight here with Asturian is that a small community can really make a huge difference with some dedication and work, and that's really cool. Small quiz for you. if you take all the properties on Wikidata that are not external identifiers, which one has the most labels, like in most languages? I hear some agreement on instance of. You would be wrong. It's image. So yeah, that tells you, if you speak one of the languages where instance of doesn't yet have a label, you might want to add it. Yeah, so it has 148 labels currently. But that's just as an aside. This graph tells us something about how much content we are making available in a certain language and how much of that content is actually used. So what you're seeing is basically a curve, right? With most content having English labels, being available in English, and being used a lot. And then it kind of goes down. But again, what you can see are outliers who have a lot more content than you would necessarily expect. And that is really, really good. The problem still is it's not used a lot, right? Asturian and Dutch should be higher. And I think helping those communities increase the use of the data they collected is a really useful thing to do. The what this analysis and others showed us is also a good thing, though, is that we're seeing that highly used items also tend to have more labels, or the other way around. Not entirely clear. All right. And then the question is, okay, are we serving just the powerful languages? Or are we serving everyone? And what you see here is a grouping of languages. The languages that are grouped together tend to have labels together. And you see the clustering. Now, here's a similar clustering, colored based on how alive, how used, how endangered the language is. And the good thing you're seeing here is that safe languages and endangered languages do not form two different clusters, but they're all mixed together, which is much better than it would be the other way around, right? Where the safe languages, the powerful languages, are just helping each other out. No, that's not the case. And it's a really good thing when I saw this. I thought this was very good. Here's a similar thing where we looked at the language's status and how many labels that has. What you're seeing is a clear win for safe languages, as is expected. But what you're also seeing is that the languages in category 2 and 3 and maybe even 4 are not that bad, actually, in terms of their representation in Wikidata. And that is a really good thing to find. Now, if you look at the same thing for how much of that content of those labels is actually used on Wikipedia, for example, then you see a similar picture emerging again. And that tells us that those communities are actually making good use of their time by filling in labels for highly used items, for example. There are outliers where I think we can help to help those communities find the places where their work would be most valuable. But overall, I'm happy with this picture. Now, that was the items and properties part of Wikidata. Now let's look at interaction in your languages. So the lexeme parts of Wikidata, where we describe words and their forms and their meanings. We've been doing this now since May last year. And content has been growing. You can see here in blue the lexemes, and then in red the forms on those lexemes, and in yellow the senses on those lexemes. So some communities, we will get to that later, have spent a lot of time creating forms and senses for their lexemes, which is really useful because that builds the core of the data set that you need. Now, we looked at all the languages that have lexemes in Wikidata. So words we have, those are right now 310 languages. Now, what do you think is the top language when it comes to the number of lexemes currently in Wikidata?
German.
So I've heard it before. It's Russian. Russian is quite ahead. And just to give you some perspective, there's different opinions, but I've read, for example, that 1,000 to 3,000 words gets you to conversational level, roughly, in another language, and 4,000 to 10,000 words to an advanced level. So we still have a bit to catch up there. One thing I want you to pay attention to is Busk here, with 10,000, roughly, lexemes. Now, if you look at the number of forms for those lexemes, Busk is way up there, which is really cool. And you should go to the talk that explains to you why that is the case. Now, if you look at the number of senses, so what do words mean, Busk even gets to the top of the list. I think that deserves an applause. Another short quiz. What's a lexeme with the most translations currently?
Cats.
All good guesses, but no. It's this, the Russian word for water. All right, so now we talked a lot about how many lexemes, forms, and senses we have, but that's just one thing you need. The other thing you need is actually describing those lexemes, forms, and senses in a machine-readable way. And for that, you have statements, like on items. And one of the properties you use is usage example. So whoever is using that data can understand how to use that word in context. So that could be a quote, for example. And here, Polish rocks. Good job, Polish speakers. When you another property that's really useful is IPA. So how do you pronounce this word? Russian. Apparently needs lots of IPA statements. But again, Polish, second. And last but not least, we have pronunciation audio. So that is links to files on Commons where someone speaks the word. So you can hear a native speaker pronounce the word in case you can't read IPA, for example. And there's a really nice, actually Wikibase powered project called Lingua Libre, where you can go and help record words in your language that then can be added to lexemes on Wikidata, so other people can understand how to pronounce your words. If you search for Lingua Libre, and I'm sure someone can post it in the Telegram channel, those guys rock. They did really cool stuff with Wikibase. All right. Then the question is, where do we go from here? Based on the numbers I've just shown you, we've come a long way towards giving more people more access to more knowledge when looking at languages on Wikidata. But there's also still a lot of work ahead of us. And some of the things you can do to help, for example, is run label orthons, like get people together to label items in Wikidata, or do an editathon around lexemes in your language to get the most used words in your language into Wikidata. Or you can use a tool like Terminator that helps you find the most important items in your language that are still missing a label. Most important being measured by how often it is used in other Wikidata items as links in statements. And of course, for the lexeme part, now that we've got a basic coverage of those lexemes, it's also about building them out, right? Adding more statements to them so that they actually can build the base for meaningful applications to build on top of that. Because we're getting closer to that critical mass, but we're still away from that, that you can build serious applications on top of it. And I hope all of you will join us in doing that. And that already brings me to a little help from our friends. And Bruno, do you want to come over and talk to us about lexical masks?
Thank you, Lydia. Thank you for giving me this short period of time to present you this work that we are doing at Google with Denny, that most of you probably have heard of or know. Because at Google, so I'm a linguist, so I'm very happy to be here amongst other language enthusiasts. We are also building some lexicons, and we have built this technology or this approach that we think that can be useful for you. Just to give you a little bit of background, this is my lexicographic background talking here. When we build lexicon database, there is a lot of hard time to maintain, to keep them consistent, and to exchange data, as you probably know. There are several attempts to unify the feature and the properties that are describing those lexemes and those forms, and it's not a solved problem, but there are some unification attempts on that side. But what is really missing, and this is a problem we had at the beginning of our project at Google, is to try to have an internal structure that describe how a lexical entry should look like, what kind of data or what kind of information we have, and how the specification that are expected. So this is what we came up with, this thing called lexicon mask. A lexicon mask is describing what is expected for an entry, a lexicographic entry, to be complete, both in terms of the number of forms you expect for a lexeme, and the number of features you accept for each of those forms. Here is an example for Italian adjectives. You expect in Italian to have four forms for your adjectives, and each of these forms have a specific combination of gender and number feature. And this is what we expect for the Italian adjectives. Of course, you can have extremely complex masks, like the French verbs conjugation, which is quite extensive. And I don't show you any other Russian mask because it doesn't fit the screen. And we also have some detailed specification because we distinguish what is at the form level. So here you have Russian nouns that have three numbers and a number of k's with different forms, but they also have an entry level specification that say a noun typically has an inherent gender and an inherent animacy feature. That is also specified in the mask. We also want to distinguish that a mask gives a specification for, in general, what an entry should look like, but you can have a smaller mask for defective aspect of the form or defective aspect of the lexeme that happen in language. So here is a simplest version of French verbs that have only the third person singular for all the weather verbs, like it rains or it snows, like in English. So we distinguish these two levels. And how we use this at Google is that when we have a lexicon that we want to use, we use the mask to really literally throw the lexicons, all the entries through the mask and see which entry have a problem in terms of structure. Are we missing a form? Are we missing a feature? And when there is a problem, we do some human validation or just to see if it's past the mask. So it's an extremely powerful tool to check the quality of the structure. So what we are happy to announce today is that we get the green light to open source our mask. So this is a schema, if you want, that we can release and that we will provide to Wikidata as a check files. This is a check files for German nouns. And Denis working on the conversion from our internal specification to a more open source specification. We currently cover more than 25 languages, so we expect to grow on our site, but we also look for this opportunity to collaborate for other languages. And one of the ongoing collaboration also that Denis has with Lucas, Luca has this great tools to have a UI to specify, to help the user or the contributor to add more forms. So if you want to have add an adjective in French, the UI is telling you which kind of how many forms is expected and what kind of features this form should have. So our mask will help the tool to be defined and expanded. That's it.
Thank you so much. All right, are there questions? Do you want to talk more about lexemes?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, my question, because you're talking about giving more access to more people and more languages, but there are a lot of languages that can't be used in Wikidata. So what solution do you have for that?
When you say that can't use Wikidata, are you talking about entering labels,
descriptions?
Yeah. Right. So for lexemes, it's a bit different because there we don't have that restriction. Mm. For labels on items and properties, there is some restriction because we wanted to make sure that it's not completely anyone does anything and it becomes unmanageable. If there is a even small community who wants one language and wants to work on that, come talk to us. We will make it happen.
I mean, we did this at the Prague Hackathon in May, and it took us until almost August in order to be able to use our language.
Yeah.
So it's very slow.
Yeah, it is unfortunately very slow. We are currently working with the language committee on solving some fundamental, getting agreement on what kind of languages are actually allowed. Mm. And that has taken too long, which is the reason why your requests probably took longer than they should have.
Thanks.
Thank you. Lydia, if you remember the statistics that you show on the number of lexemes per language.
Yeah.
So did you count all the forms as a data point or only lexemes?
Do you mean this or which one?
Yes,
do you mean?
Yes, yeah. Yes, exactly. If you remember, do these numbers encompass all the forms for all the lexemes or just how many lexemes?
No, this is just the number of lexemes.
Just the number of lexemes, okay.
Yeah.
So then it is just statistic, because if it would encompass the forms, that's why I'm asking, then all the languages with the inflection morphology like Russian, Serbian, Slovenian, etc.,
right,
they have a natural advantage because
yeah,
we have so many.
So this kind of kicks in here on this number
right,
of forms.
I forgot that there was this one. Yeah, thank you.
So I had a quick question about when we were talking about the actual items and properties. Like, as far as I understand, there is currently no way to give an actual source to any of the labels and descriptions you're given.
Right.
So there's nothing that you, for example, because when you're talking about an item property, like, for example, you can get conflicting labels.
Yes.
Like, okay, like, so this person is like, we're talking about indigenous things before, for example. So this person is a Norwegian worker, a Norwegian artist, according to this source, and a Sami artist, according to this source.
Mm-hmm.
Or, for example, like in Estonian, we had an issue where we had to change terminology to the officially used terminology in official lexicons, but we had no way to indicate really why.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the source of this, and why this was better than what was there before? It was just me as a random person just switching the thing to anyone who sees it. So is there a plan to make this possible in any way so that we can actually have proper sources for the language data?
So it is partially possible. So, for example, when you have an item for a person, you have S statements, first name, last name, and so on of that person, and then you can provide the reference for that there. I'm quite hesitant to add more complexity for references on labels and descriptions, but if people really, really think this is something that isn't covered by adding the reference on the statement, then let's talk about it. But I fear it will add a lot of complexity for what I hope are few cases, but I'm willing to be convinced otherwise if people really feel very strongly about this.
Yeah, I mean, if it's added, it probably shouldn't be in the default show to all the users as a beginner interface in any case. More like click here if you need to say a specific thing about this. But.
Do we have a sense of how many times that would actually matter?
So, I mean, in Estonian, for example, I mean, I expect this is true of other languages as well. There is, for example, there is an official name that is the actual legitimate translation, for example, into English of, say, a specific kind of municipality.
Mm-hmm.
That was my use case, for example, where we were using the word parish, which... yes, the original Estonian word was meant kind of like church parish, and that was the origin, but that's not the official translation Estonia gives right now.
Hmm. So in this case, I would just add it as official name statement and add the reference there.
Okay.
More questions? Yes.
I had two quick comments. You specifically called out Asturian as a language that does well, and I think that's a false artifact.
Tell me about it.
Well, I think it's just a bot that pasted person names, like proper names, and said, well, this is exactly like in French or Spanish, and just massively copied it. And one point of evidence is that you don't see that energy in Asturian in things that actually require translation, like property names or names of items that are not proper names.
So that break my heart.
I know. I like raining on parades. But I have good news as well, which is about the pronunciation numbers. As you probably know, Commons is full of pronunciation files. And, for example, Dutch has no less than 300,000 pronunciation files already on Commons that just need to, you know, somehow be ingested. So if anyone's looking for a side project, there's tons and tons of classified, categorized pronunciation files on Commons under the category pronunciation by language. So that's just waiting to be matched to lexemes and put on lexeme. And I was wondering if you could say something about the roadmap, something about how much investment or what can we expect from lexeme in the coming year, because I, for one, can't wait.
You can't wait. Yes. I think right now we're concentrating more on Wikibase and data quality to see how much traction this gets and then getting more of a feeling of where the pain points are next, and then coming back to improving lexicographical data further. And one of the things I love to hear from you is, like, where exactly do you see the next steps? Where do you want to see improvements so that we can then figure out how to make that happen? Yeah. But of course, you're right. There's still so much to do also on the technical side.
Okay, so
yeah.
As we were uploading the Basque words with forms and senses and these kind of things, it was like last week we said, oh, we are the first one in something, or in, yes, in senses, and it appears in press, and it's like, oh, Basque are the first time some, they are the first in something. Okay. And then people ask, okay, but what is this for? And we don't have a real good answer. I mean, it's like, okay, this will help computers to understand more our language. Mm-hmm. Yes, but what kind of tools we can make in the future? And we don't have a good answer for this. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you have a good answer for this.
I don't know if I have a good answer, but I have an answer. So I think right now, as I was telling earlier, we haven't reached that critical mass where you can build a lot of the really interesting tools. But there are already some tools. Just the other day, Esther Pantaleo, for example, released a tool where you can see, I think it was the words on a globe where they're spoken most, or where they're coming from. I'm probably wrong about this. But she announced it on the project chat on Wikidata. You can look it up there. So we are seeing these first tools, just like we've seen them back when Wikidata started, right? First some, like, just a network and like, hey, look, there's this thing that connects to this other thing. And as we have more data and as we've reached some critical mass, more powerful applications become possible. Things like Histopedia, things like question answering in your digital personal assistant, Platypus, and so on. And I think we're seeing a similar thing with like Siemens, right? We're at the stage where you can build like these little, hey, look, there's a connection between two things, and there's a translation of this word into that language stage. And as we build it out and as we describe more words, more becomes possible. Now, what becomes possible? As Ben, our keynote speaker earlier, was talking about translations, right? Being able to translate from one language to another. And Jens, my colleague, he's always talking about the European Union looking for a translator who can translate from, I think it was Maltese to Swedish, Estonian. And that is not a usual combination. But once you have all these languages in one machine-readable place, you can do that. You can get a dictionary from Estonian to Maltese and back. And so covering language combinations in dictionaries that just haven't been covered before, because there wasn't enough demand for it, for example, to make it financially viable and to justify the work. Now we can do that. Then text generation. Lucy was earlier talking about how she's working with Hadi on generating text to get Wikipedia articles in minority languages started. And that needs data about like about words, right? You need to understand the language to do that. And those are just some that come to my mind right now. Maybe our audience has more ideas what they want to do when we have all the glorious data.
Okay, I will deviate from the Lexemes topic. I will ask the question, how can I, as a member of community, influence that priority is put on task, that a new user comes and he can indicate what languages he wants to see and edit without some secret Babel template knowledge. And so maybe there will be this year this technical wish list without Wikipedia topics. Maybe there's a hope we can all vote about this thing we didn't fix for 7 years. So do you have any ideas and comments about this?
Mm. So you're talking about the fact that someone who is not logged into Wikidata can't change their language easily?
No, for new users.
Yes.
So if they are logged in, they can just change their language at the top of the page. And then it will appear in the where labels description ASSR, and they can edit it.
Well, actually, usually many times the workflow is that you want to have multiple languages there available, and it's not always the case.
Okay, maybe we should sit down after this talk and you show me. Cool. More questions? Yes.
Thanks for the presentation. Can you comment on the state of the collaboration with the Wiktionary community? As far as I've seen, there were some discussions about importing some elements of their work, but there seems to be licensing issues and some mm-hmm. disagreements and such.
Right. So Wiktionary communities have spent a lot of time building Wiktionary, right? They have built amazingly complicated and complex templates to build pretty tables that automatically generate forms for you in all kinds of really impressive and kind of crazy stuff if you think about it. And of course, they have invested a lot of time and effort into that. And understandably, they don't just want that to be grabbed just like that. So there's some of that coming from that. And that's fine. That's okay. And now the first Wiktionary communities are talking about changing that and importing some of their data into Wikidata. So Russian, you've seen, for example, is one of those cases. And I expect more of that to happen, but it will be a slow process, just like adoption of Wikidata's data on Wikipedia has been a rather slow process. On the other side of making it actually easier to use the data that is in Lexemes on Wiktionary so that they can make use of that and share data between the language Wiktionaries, which is super hard to impossible right now, which is crazy, just like it was on Wikipedia. Wait for the birthday presents. Yes.
Well, I was thinking the other way around. I actually didn't want to say it because I think this would be super silly, but I was thinking that Wiktionary already has some content, and I know that we can transfer it to Wikidata because there's a difference in licenses, but I was thinking maybe we can do something about that. Maybe, I don't know, we can obtain the community's permission after, like, I don't know, having like a public voting and for the community, like the active members in the community, to vote and say if they would like or accept to change or to transfer the content from Wiktionary to the Wikidata Lexemes, mm-hmm. because I just think it is such a waste.
Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a conversation those people who are in Wiktionary communities are very welcome to bring up there. I think it would be a bit presumptuous for us to go and force that. Yeah, I think it's definitely worth having that conversation. But I think it's also important to understand that there's a distinction between what is actually legally allowed and what we should be doing and what those people want or do not want, right? So even if it's legally allowed, if some of the Wiktionary communities do not want that, I would be careful at least. I think you need the mic for the stream.
So obviously it's all very exciting, and I immediately think, how can I take that to my students, and how can I incorporate it with, you know, the courses and the work that we do in educational settings? And I don't have, at the moment, first of all, enough knowledge, but I think the documentation that we do have could be maybe improved. So that's a kind of request to make cool videos that explain how it works, because if we have it, we can then use it, and we can have students on board, and we can, you know, make people understand how awesome it all is. And yeah, just think about documentation and think about education, please, because I think a lot could be done. These are like mini tasks that could be done even with, well, I wouldn't say primary school, but certainly even younger students. And so I would really like to see that potential being tapped into. And as of now, I personally don't understand enough to be able to, you know, to create tasks or to create, like, to do something practical with it. So any help, any thoughts anyone here has about that, I would be very happy to hear your thoughts and yours as well.
Yeah, let's talk about that. More questions? Someone else raised their hand. I forgot who it was.
So, if we can't import from Wiktionary, is there some concerted effort to find other, say, public domain sources, maybe older data, and kind of pre-filter it or organize it so that it's easy to be checked by people for import?
So, there are first efforts. My understanding is that Basque is one of those efforts. Maybe you want to say a bit more about it?
Okay, the actual answer is paying for that, but I mean, we have an agreement with a contractor we usually work with, and they do dictionaries and other lots of stuff, but they do dictionaries, so we agreed with them to make free the student's dictionary which has the most common words and start uploading it with an external identifier and these kind of things. But I mean, there was some discussion about leaving it on CC0 because they had the dictionary with CC BY and they understood what the difference was. So there was some discussion, but I think that if we can provide some tools and some examples in the future, and I think that there will be other dictionaries that we can handle, and also I think Wiktionary should start moving in that direction, but that's another great discussion.
And on top of that, Leah is also in contact with people from Occitan who work on Occitan dictionaries, and they're currently working on a similar collaboration. More questions?
Hi, we are the people who want to import Occitan data.
Perfect.
And we have a small problem. We don't know how to represent the variety of all lexemes. We have six dialects, and we want to indicate for lexeme in which dialect it's used, and we don't have a proper statement to do that. So as long as the statement doesn't exist, it prevents us from it, because we will need to do it again when we will be able to express this statement. And it's complicated because it's a statement which won't be asked by many people, because it's a statement which concerns mostly minorities languages. So you will have one person to ask this, but as our colleagues Basques, it can be one person who will power thousands of words. So it might not be asked a lot, but it will be very important for us.
Do you already have a new property proposal up, or do you need help creating it?
We asked it for 4 months ago.
All right, then let's get some people to help out with this property proposal. I'm sure there are enough people in this room to make this happen.
Property proposal, variété de la forme. We didn't have any answer, and we don't know how to do this because we aren't in the Wikidata community. So we are.
Yeah, so there are people here who can help you. Maybe someone raises their hand to take
not,
on.
Not for that, but I think that this is quite interesting, not only the variant of form, also can handle it geographically with coordinates or some kind of mapping, and also having different pronunciations. And I think that this is something that happens in lots of languages, and we should start making it happen somehow. And I'm going to search for the property.
Cool. So you will get backing for your property proposal. Thank you. All right. More questions. Finn. Finn is one of those people who build stuff on top of lexicographical data.
Well, it's just a small question, and that's about spelling variations.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be difficult to put them in. You could, of course, have multiple forms for the same word, but I don't know. It seems to be otherwise. If you don't do it that way, it seems to be difficult to specify it. Or I don't know whether this is just a minor technical issue. So whether
let's look at it together. I would love to see an example. Yeah. So.
Thank you. I can give a very concrete example from my mother tongue, Hebrew. Hebrew has two main variants for expressing almost every word, because the traditional spelling leaves out many of the vowels. And therefore, in modern editions of the Bible and of poetry, diacritics are used. However, those diacritics are never used for modern prose or newspaper writing or street signs. So the average daily casual use puts in extra vowels and doesn't use the diacritics, because they're, of course, more cumbersome and have all kinds of rules and nobody knows the rules. So there are basically two variants. There's the everyday casual prose variant, and there's the Bible or poetry, which always come in this traditional diacriticized text. To be useful, Lexeme would have to recognize both varieties of every single word and every single form of every single word. So that's a very comprehensive use case for official stable variants. It's not dialects, it's not regions. It's basically two coexisting morphological systems. And I too don't know exactly how to express that in Lexeme today, which is one thing that's keeping me, in partial answer to Magnus's question, from uploading the parts that are ready from the biggest Hebrew dictionary, which is public domain and which I have been digitizing for several years now. A good portion of it is ready, but I'm not putting it on Lexeme right now because I don't know exactly how to solve this problem yet.
All right, let's solve this problem here. That has to be possible. All right, more questions. If not, then thank you so much.